It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with the first verse today. So please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in just a few moments. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to check our website out, it is at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com, either will be just fine. And so please that you will contact us. Let us know that you enjoy the studies, and I hope that you come to know the Lord Jesus and then begin to grow closer and closer to Jesus each and every day. So please, that you would enjoy those things and let us know. Romans chapter 5, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What wonderful verses of Scripture. So please that we begin now with a word of prayer. Father, I thank and praise you today that we can enjoy the reading of your word. Please that you will guide and lead us every step of the way through this study today. And then beyond that, through the day, that we can enjoy your presence and your power. And it begins when we know you as our Lord and Savior. So please today that folks will come to the cross of Calvary, realize, recognize that they need a Savior because they're sinners and they're lost and they need you, your Son, the Lord Jesus. So please, dear Father, today, that their hearts will be convicted and they'll be saved and they'll begin and start this wonderful life and this wonderful walk together with you and with other believers. And so please, dear Father, if you would just guide and lead us now today, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great reading of the Word and opportunity of prayer and just a great time to be together and study God's precious Word. This fifth chapter of Romans, it just is such a joy. So I hope that you enjoy it as well. And we looked at last week concerning the word justification. And as we looked at verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. And so that justification there, you know, the righteousness imputed to us by Almighty God through Jesus Christ, His Son, brings, and we've listed seven results here. And so it is just wonderful because it's in these verses that we've just read. Now, this is reviewed from last time we were together, but please, it's just a joy to look at them once again. And if you look at verse 1, we've just read, therefore being justified by faith, and then it begins, we have peace with God. We have peace with God, and of course, that's through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you have no hope, you have no peace, you have no joy. And then the second is found in the second verse, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace. So you see, we have peace with God, we have access by faith into this grace. God's unmerited favor He shows towards us, pours out upon us. We have access by faith to that. And then the third is in the last part of verse 2. It says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have that opportunity that we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And we're going to look at what this is in the, you know, with tribulation and tribulation with patience and patience experience hope. And so we'll go through that in just a little bit, but let's finish this up now. Let's come down to verse 3. We glory in tribulation. This is all this justification, the righteousness imputed to us by Almighty God through Jesus Christ, His Son, allows us to glory in tribulations. And then the fifth one we find down in verse 5, and that is the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That comes is through this justification. We are justified. Look at the gifts, the joy that we receive. And then number 6 is also in the fifth verse, the Holy Ghost which is given to us. Wonderful promises. We are justified. But look at all the blessings. And the last is all the way to the 11th verse. We also joy in God, once again, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what joy is to look at those verses of Scripture. Now we come and we look at this verse of Scripture in the first, we have therefore, and we've kind of been through this a little bit, but it all ties together the last chapter. And in the last chapter, we have confirmed that salvation is not by works. If your church teaches that you must be baptized to be saved, if your church or the group you're with it ties any kind of works, but if you believe you can lose your salvation, then you're back to works. And we know, according to the 4th chapter of Romans, that it's not by works. We found also that it isn't by ordinances, and we looked at that because it looked towards the circumcision and all those things, and we would tie baptism to that today because that would be our connection. But it's not by those things, not by keeping those things, and we found that through the 4th chapter in 9 through 12. And then from 13 to 22, it's not by obeying the law. We're supposed to obey the law, but that doesn't get us our salvation because, you see, we can't. We can't keep the law, so we're to try. But it sure isn't going to be enough to please our God and to satisfy Him and just kind of wink at the sin that remains. He's not going to do that. We have to have a perfect offering, a perfect sacrifice for our God. And the only one that is there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so please come to the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And then by that, by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to read Colossians 2:10. So turn with me, if you would, please, to Colossians 2:10. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you went into the Thessalonians, you're just a little too far. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Please understand that we are complete in Him if you come by faith to Jesus Christ. You see, when Adam sinned, the whole human race fell into sin and death. Peace between man and God was broken. But the second Adam, Christ, purchased peace through His shed blood. Romans 1:18. Let's go back to 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who hold the truth to unrighteousness. You see, we need to recognize we must be removed from the wrath of God. And the only way that can take place is your relationship with Jesus. So please, ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. As we look now, again, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What an exciting verse of Scripture. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now we're going to stop right there, because we need to go back and take a look at these words just a little bit. And if we look at the first, we come, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Now tribulation here is persecution. Tribulation is pressure, is affliction, is burdened. We are burdened, and when we are in those times, those conditions, that should worketh patience. And do you realize that patience, the definition here is cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. We just don't endure. We do it cheerfully. And you can go through difficult, very difficult times with a smile on your face and a real joy in your heart when you know Jesus. Because you see, you go through those trials and they worketh patience. And God is very pleased with patience. We need patience. Cheerful endurance. And then patience brings experience. Now, experience is proof, is trustiness, and trial. It all comes experience. As we have experience, as we have tribulation, and we build patience, and you have experience, you'll hear people say, you know, maybe they don't have a lot of education as far as many years of schooling, things like that, but they have a lot of experience. And so you hire them because of their experience. Well, that experience, whoever you are, if you have great experience, if you have a high level of experience, it has come only through tribulation. And that tribulation builds patience, and patience brings that experience, and that experience is locked in so that it can be used over and over again. And so experience, again, is proof, it's trial. You've been through the school, even though it's a school of hard knocks, if you'd like to call it that. But what wonderful words here that our God gives us. And if you are a person that loves to work and to serve and to care for your family and those things, you know what I'm talking about. You have experience. It may be experience in the job that you have, and that allowed you to have that job. I have this experience. And so please, that We glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience is this cheerful endurance. And then patience brings experience. And that experience is trials and proof. And when you have that, and again, a trustiness is a definition of that word. Well, experience then brings hope. Now, hope is faith, expectation, confidence. And so when you go through these trials, you can bellyache and complain and whine and moan that you're the only one that ever has to go through it, or you can grow from it, and by growing, it going to develop the patience, this cheerful endurance to face whatever might come. And then that's going to gain you great experience. And when you've gained that great experience, then you have this hope, this confidence. The confidence that when you use this through your tribulation, gaining patience, gaining experience, and now you know that what's coming, this hope. The hope is faith, expectation, confidence. That comes through life, but it comes through being a Christian too. Because being a Christian, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace. And see, the more that you have gone through trials and tribulations as a believer, a Christian, a born-again believer, you also then begin to gain these wonderful experiences. And those experiences are there for you to help others, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Those experiences and that hope and that strength that we gain, then it comes almost natural for us then to share that with others because we want them to have the same thing. And so please that you will enjoy that. But I love those words. The hope here, patience and patience, experience and experience, hope. And then in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's what happens when a believer, a born-again believer, is saved. When you come to Jesus Christ, you call upon, you realize you're a lost sinner, you call upon Him for salvation, and when you do, oh, what a wonderful day. What a wonderful day it is. And so it begins that this hope and all these things begin to build. It doesn't just sit down as persecution and pressure and affliction and burdened. It's not that at all. You don't feel that because it moves into those patience, and then the patience moves into experience, and experience moves into hope. And oh, it's wonderful. Please look to the Lord Jesus for your power and for your strength. And when you turn to Him, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and begins to guide you and lead you. And it all comes down to you believing Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to save you. He died for you. You're a sinner. You're lost. You need a Savior. Call upon Him. Say, yes, I want Jesus as my Savior. Now please come into my heart and save me. And look at the great love that our God has for us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. In verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. the atonement. What a wonderful opportunity to be born again, to be saved. Now let's back up and look at these words just a little bit. For when we were yet without strength, in verse 6, you see, there is nothing in us that is desiring God. You wonder why some men and some people are so wicked. They're so wicked. It's because there is nothing good in them. The Spirit of God that's present on the earth today in believers holds down the wickedness that's here. They don't understand that, but it's true. God's presence in believers is really holding the limit to wickedness. Now, the further that the church gets away from the power and the presence of God, and that's the reason that I want you to get your old King James out, not New King James, not the NIV, the old King James, and stay with it. Because the more that you use these other versions and continue to say, well, it's so much easier to read. We are to study the Word of God. And if you study the Word of God, the these and the thous are nothing. You'll enjoy them. And it gets to where it's just it's second place. It's just what you desire to study. I don't want to study anything else. But what happens if you do, then we just become slowly. Maybe you were born again by the old King James, but you decided that the NIV or the New King James or one of the others is a little easier to read, so you've went to that. Well, your strength has been taken away, little by little. And then the children that you're teaching, your children, other children, it's going to be a little bit less of the strength of God. And then they're going to come up with another version, and they'll think, well, this is a little easier again. And we get to the point, there is no power at all. You want to know by the wicked, why the wickedness is growing in this country and upon this earth? It is because the presence of God and the strength of believers is withering away, because the Word of God has been watered down. We must come back to the old King James. You don't find that very many places today. You'll find it here. And we will always stay. As long as I am the pastor of this church, it will always be the old King James. And we're not going to leave it, because that's where the power and the strength is located. Please, that you find the Word of God and enjoy it, because the Spirit of God can teach you the ways through that precious Word. But when we were without strength, you see, again, not only the wickedness, but we have no strength, no desire to be good or godly. Now, yes, we have a conscience. We have a God-given conscience. But as far as having any strength to desire God, we don't. Now, God sends His Spirit down, and that Spirit, He convicts your heart. He shows you, that's the reason we have the law, because the law is perfect and you can't keep it. And you look at the law and you look at yourself and you think, my, I am sure short in doing what is right here. I need help. And the help is the Lord Jesus Christ, because He was perfect. He lived upon this earth, and He lived here for 33 years. He lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the law in every way, and He died for you and for me. And so please come by faith to Him and be saved and begin to walk with Him. If you would do that today, and He is calling you, He died for you when we were ungodly. For scarcely, and He gives us kind of an explanation here, for a righteous man will one die. Preadventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. Are you willing to take somebody else's place? You know, we see this today and around the world, and I'm afraid it's not far from this country, as persecution of the Christians will come. But if you were a believer and there was a choice of your life or someone else's, you say, take my life. Now, that takes a tremendous amount of strength and power that God has to give us in order to do that. But do you realize that you would do that for a friend? You would do that to spare someone else's life? But how about if the enemy, one that has hated you and hunted you down, would you give your life for that person? I will die for you. Well, that's what Jesus did. Because mankind hates God. You want to know why we've got all these other versions and why we've got all these other religions? It's because man hates God. They don't want to just simply come and enjoy and study the Word of God. Oh, it's wonderful just to look to the Word of God and study it and search it. But you see, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. A good man, you might die for a good man, but yet peradventure for a good man, some would even maybe dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you could move that word sinners to enemies. We were enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Please understand what we need to do to trust in Jesus today. And it's very simple. You need to just walk with him. You need to call upon him for your salvation. Please, call upon him for your salvation. It's very, very necessary that you walk with him each and every day. But we can't walk with him until he saves our old wicked soul. So please, look to the Lord Jesus today, call upon him today, and ask him to come into your heart and save you. God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners or enemies, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified, we've looked at all those words, justification. We have peace with God. We have access unto his grace. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We glory in tribulation. God's love is shed abroad in our hearts. The Holy Ghost is given to us, and we joy in God. Look at those things. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. We need to call upon him for salvation. Please, please, I beg you today, don't be deceived by any other. Take the word of God. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you got to call on him. It's a free gift. It's a gift of salvation. But you've got to ask him for it. It's right there. He turns no one away that calls. No one is turned away that asks. No one has ever said, oh, you're not rich enough, or you're not clean enough, or your skin isn't the right color. Never. Never. Our God saves any and all that call upon him. What a wonderful God we have. Please that you would come to Jesus and be saved. And look at verse 11 now. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And that atonement is we have received reconciliation. We have been reconciled. We've been brought back to our God. Remember where we started? We started as enemies. When Adam sinned, the whole human race fell into sin and death. Jesus died on the cross to save us. What a glorious, glorious day. Please, please look to Jesus today. Call upon Him for your Savior. We had a wonderful study today. I hope that you enjoyed this portion of the fifth chapter of Romans. Read through that. Come by faith to Jesus. Please, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please, please, in your heart, call upon Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?